thank Allah, the Lord of all the worlds. We acknowledge that He, Allah alone, is one. We thank Allah for the mercy to all the worlds. Muhammad, the last prophet, messenger of Allah. Prayers and peace be upon him, his descendants, and upon his companions. We like to begin today's program with a dua, which is a short prayer. Our Lord, punish us not if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden like that which you did lay on those before us. Our Lord, put not on us a burden greater than we can bear, than we have the strength to bear. Pardon us and grant us forgiveness. Have mercy on us. You are our protector, and give us victory over the disbelievers. Also, Allah says in the Quran that man can have nothing but what he strives for, and that his striving will produce for him. So we have put forth a strong effort here in Newell. Business owners, the Muslim business community, Masjid Muhammad, Newark, our social institutions, business interests, people, came together to socialize for production, more production, excellent production, for more investments, strong investments in products, brought forth our best business people that we have amongst us to address us and to share with us information how they are being successful. And we are encouraging this weekend, this wonderful weekend, more investment into the city of Newell. We believe that the climate is right here for business investment, and we should take full advantage of it. And this is Muslims and non-Muslims. Our leader, Imam Deputy Muhammad, leadership excellence, or the Muslim American spokesman of the Muslim American Society leader. He's the one that's really responsible for us having the courage to step out on Broad Street in the most prestigious facilities that we can find in this city, and comfortable. In fact, if we're going to do business in the future, we certainly have to be comfortable. We cannot be uncomfortable. We are now very comfortable with the government, the city government, comfortable in the neighborhood, meaning people are not afraid of Muslims. People want to be around Muslims. people want to help Muslims. And this is because of the vision, the insight, and the leadership excellence of Imam Deputy Muhammad. So we thank Allah for this special man that we have, this man of faith in God, an inspired man, a blessed man, a man that's in his own reality. The Quran is a book that should be read. Quran means to read and recite it. And we read the verses which are actually signs of the message. So we have a man amongst us today that's blessing us and sharing with us insights into the signs of the Quran. And it is causing us to reconnect with the spiritual soul, the strong, faithful heart, and it produces a rational intelligence that's not afraid to move forward with production in community life, not just for Muslims, but for all people. So this is just a sign of the strong effort to make Newark, New Jersey, a model community or a model city of excellence and production and manufacturing and education, schools, building, preserving the knowledge through construction of schools and business centers with a master. And I'll have to take a few minutes to express gratitude and appreciation to all of our wonderful sponsors. Most of the people that are sitting here today are people who have sponsored this event. I think this hall holds about 500 people. And there are those who probably cannot get inside of the hall, but there is a space outside of the hall to accommodate them and monitors, so they will be able to see and hear. And there are some rooms that has monitors in it. But the point I want to make is that the sponsors, our sponsors, are people who understand the importance of making things happen and doing things in advance, planning, and responding immediately so that we can secure and prepare for our leader in the most excellent way. Our leader is a man who walked with the Pope of Rome, the Christian leader for the Christian nation. He walked with the Pope of Rome, and the Pope of Rome had no problem in walking with him, or talking with him, or being with him. Very comfortable and relaxed. So we should go all out to let humanity know about what the achievements is taking place with our leadership, and not be afraid to broadcast it on Broad Street and Broadway, downtown Newark, New Jersey, and downtown New York, and downtown Philadelphia. We should not be afraid. We should come out now. And we should not be afraid to step up to the plate to support good causes that will be for the benefit of all people. We should not be afraid to do this. And we should not make each other sweat and wonder if we are going to get the help and the support. So praise be to Allah. We have our leader here, and we want to bring him on. Our distinguished leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir!
Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. We praise God. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. praise and the thanks is for God, the Lord, sustainer, the keeper of the world. We witness that He's one. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahda. That He's one alone. La sharika lahu. That there's no partners with Him in the rule and run of the heavens and the earth. And we witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger, and a mercy to all the world. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. And the alameen, and a mercy to all the world, as Allah says in His book, the Quran, the last revelation, final book, to the people of the world. Again, we are happy to be here in Newark for this occasion. Sorry, we had engagement in Atlanta. We weren't able to be with you last night. And I heard that the spirit was good and the enjoyment was great. And we are usually with you for the 2 days, for both the days. Atlanta has their graduation, and I'm committed to be with them for their graduation every year. And I have done that for years, I think since the beginning, for 9 years, ninth annual graduation ceremonies was yesterday. Today, for this occasion, we want to address community as the focus for life, the life that Allah wants for His people, for human beings, and as the focus for production. Production, our growth, our production, growth, growth, our production. Allah says in the Quran, and it's in the Bible too, but being a Muslim, the Muslim imam leader, my references should be from Quran and not from Bible. But if I was a Christian addressing you, I know the Bible well enough to give the same lecture, same speech, and come from the Bible. So God says He created us for growth, that we should grow. And He says He has created us like a plant. So a parable of human life in the Quran is a parable of plant life, of a plant. And when you look at a plant is rooted in the earth, in the ground, the land. It's rooted in the land. And really get this first growth, a start, beneath the surface, under the land, covered and hid, under the ground, under the surface of the earth, covered and hid from view. It gets its first start. The seed gets its moisture, and it responds to the moisture, and it swells the cost of the need to grow inside of it. The need to grow pushes outwardly, breaks the covering, like the egg, newborn baby comes, chicks come, break the egg, come out, and like a human being, swells up the mother's stomach, out of view, we don't see what's happening, swells up the mother's stomach, and then the ninth month comes the delivery, and there the baby comes out, comes from the mother. So the material world is the first womb of life, the material world. For animals and human beings, it's the flesh material. For plants, it's the ground material, the earth, the land, soil, dirt. Returning to the parable of us, of our human life, in the plant life, the seed breaks open and the life wants to free itself from encasement, from imprisonment. It wants to free itself from restriction. It's restricted. And if it stays inside the womb, the first womb, the material womb that gave it its first this life and have this growth. It breaks free and a shoot comes up from the ground. If you dig under, you'll see that the beginning of life for it was white. White. But as it comes out into the air, it turns green. It becomes green. And if it's more than grass, if it's more than just a simple structure, like a tree, a bush or something, it may bear fruit or flower of a variety of colors. A variety of colors. But the leaves will be green, most likely. Sometimes they're of another color too. But most likely the leaves will be green. And the life seeks beauty. It wants to be beautiful. Grass that grows together is beautiful to the eyes, pleasant to the eyes. Although it's the simplest, maybe the simplest form of things that grow out of the earth to plant life. Perhaps the simplest form, except that grows in the water. That blade of grass is beautiful, and it seeks to stand up straight. It seeks balance. It wants to be balanced. It doesn't want to be limp over here, or limp that way. It wants to be balanced straight up. And the more complex plants branch out, have branches branching out, and they branch out in such a way to give that plant strength and stability, balance, strength and stability. If one limb comes out here on this side, a heavy, and it doesn't balance with another one out this side, it will pull it to this side. It will be pulled to this side. It will lose its beauty, its symmetry, its beauty, etc. Now, it's growing. If God says he made us like a plant, continue to listen and see what we should be seeing in ourselves. The plant, most plants, even the blade of grass, simple blade of grass, it preserves the composition of the earth, the soil, the land that it came out of. It gives the land a covering that preserves it against erosion, drying out, erosion, wearing away, becoming sand, etc. So it's a protection, it's a covering for the mother ground, mother that it grew out of. It's a protection for it. And as I said, as the Quran said, see how he has created growth and spread it over the earth path. And spread it over the earth like carpet. And that's what the grass looks like, a nice, beautiful carpet, especially when it's mowing night. Mowing night. Looks like a beautiful carpet. Now, that grass, we don't know it, but it's also giving support to small life. Small life. Where there's grass, you'll find earthworms. And the earthworms, they also work the earth to keep the earth nice. And they give it food. They also eat, but they also what they give is nourishment to the earth that they live upon. So if God created us like a plant, he created us for beautiful growth. He created us firstly for freedom. Freedom from restriction. Our growth should not be restricted. And if you restrict the growth, and don't permit it to come out of the womb from and where it was put for life to form, you will kill it. You will kill it. It will die without that freedom. It has to have that freedom to have its life, to grow and have its life in the free air, under the free sunshine, created by God. Yes. So it needs this. And if it gets this, then it also renders a service. It gives. It receives and it gives. The grass gives the covering. The covering invites little creatures to grow beneath, to live beneath. The little creatures, there are many kinds, but the earthworm is perhaps the best example for this particular picture I'm trying to paint for you now. Earthworms feed on the rich earth made rich by the living thing, grass or whatever growing in it. Grass, and it feeds on that rich earth, but what it gives out, what it gives back, is nourishment, richness, and for the earth, and it works the earth like plowing the ground. It works the earth and keeps it manageable, but also loose to breathe air and to support other life. This is wonderful. Like a plant. Feed us like a plant. Now that blade of grass, it can't hold birds. Birds can't come and make nests in it like they can in a tree. They can't give that much support. But that blade of grass is giving great support. Support for its size. It is giving great support. Now, in the Quran, grass is mentioned, I think, for mainly for the beauty, to get us to see the beauty in it, how it makes a blanket or carpet-like over the earth. But in the Bible, even man is described as a blade of grass. It says, what is the son of man but grass? What is the son of man but grass? Yes. The tree gives support for birds. Birds can have their nests there, for squirrels and other small animals. It even gives support, a rescue, a hiding place for some larger animals in some areas of the world, earth or world, in the hot belt, jungle environment. It gives support to even bigger animals and protection for them and hiding places for them. So here is this big tree, grows up out of the earth, and supports life. It supports life. Its leaves are not just there for it to have breath. It breathes, science tell us. It breathes. It breathes. By the leaves, it breathes. But it's not only so it can have its breath of life, but those leaves are also to serve as small shelters, umbrellas, for birds when it rains. The birds can take rescue. They go to the trees and they get up under the leaves to protect themselves from the beating down of the rain. Now, we should not just want life and growth selfishly for ourselves. If we are going to be like a plant, our growth is also going to be a contribution to other life. To other life. What kind of growth is this? The earth is material. The earth is material. The land is material. The life, the living things that grow out of that have responded to, they were dead. Earth without water is dead. Land without water is dead. So these living things were once dead. They were dead matter. But they became living things because of them being the life of living things. So dead. So died. The seed is dead. But it came from the life of something living. It came from life, though it's dead. So when it's put back into the earth in the right time and the conditions are good for it, not harmful to it, it will survive for a time. And when the weather climate gets good and moisture hits it, it swells, as we've already said. It responds to the moisture, it swells and opens up and releases the life that was in it. Is sensitive. Water is very sensitive. The least little touch on the surface of the water makes ripples all through it, the surface. universe created for it. The world of air and sunshine. Praise be to Allah. So God is telling us a beautiful thing. When God says to us, the parable of our life is the life of a path. He's telling us a beautiful thing. And he doesn't go in to discuss this detail. God knows that he has created us with intelligence to take the idea and think on it and draw out all the beauty that God gave us in that idea. He created us to do that. And are we to do that? Yes. Allah says in his book that these are signs. But most of the people go along unmindful, not giving these signs any attention. And then God tells us, don't be like that. God says, fakir, in nefati fikra. Think, ponder on these things. For surely, thinking on the thing gives you profit. You'll profit from that. Now, who wants to take dirt and eat it? Who wants dirt at the table for dinner this evening? Say, give me a plate of dirt. Give me a plate of land, brother. That's what I love. Give me a plate of land for dinner. None of us want to do that. That's death. But that you do not want to consume within is the environment for you to have your first life. Isn't that something? Yes. The world without life is the environment for you to have life. And its role is only to support life. That's what its role is, to support life. Now, let's look at this land as money. Money. I mean big money. Not little money. See, little money is probably like corn kernels. Yeah, grains. That's little money, you see. Land is like big money. The purpose of big money, then, is to support life. Not to be taken into your body and to become part of your life system. It's not to feed your heart. It's not to feed your brain with life. No. It's to give support to growth. And then the growth feeds your body. It's to give support to growth, and the growth feeds your body. The things that grow from the earth feed us. We eat them, and it tastes good. They're meant to go into our body. God made them to taste good to us, to tell us, this is good for your body, to take this in. We love those things. Greens, and whatever, that grows out of the earth, the fruits, many fruits. But also to give beauty. They feed our spirit, they feed our soul. Because they are beautiful. The beauty feeds our soul, our sensitivities. The sensitivities for beauty are fed by the beauty of these growing things. And it said that they created the man and put him in a garden. And put him in a garden and charged the man and held the man responsible for attending the garden. Now the garden needs help if you want to see it in its best beauty. Then walk the garden. Although it's beautiful just as a natural creation, it's beautiful. But if you use your intelligence, man, you can even realize a more beautiful garden. So you tend the garden, dress the garden. This is both Bible and Quran. Dress the garden. What am I talking about? Some of you might be asking that question. What is he talking about? I'm talking about the biggest matter that will ever come into your life. What you're here for, and how you're to live, so you will have growth and prosperity. That's what I'm talking about. If that's not interesting to you, then you are dead. And walk. folks. I'm pouring the water down right now. Yes. This is a beauty. It's the beauty of life. I mean, given life from the dead, and God says, and he is the one who made you, brings you out of the dead. The dead. And gives you life. Then returns you again to the dead. And gives you another resurrection. Another growth, another birth, and another growth. The baby that's born today, this minute, this second, from its mother, nothing gave it that life but the Creator God that designed life to be that way. And that baby has been given a good life, not a bad life. The baby is not born a criminal. The father could have been criminal. The father and the mother both could have been criminal. That doesn't mean the baby is going to be born criminal. The baby is not going to be born bad because the parents were bad. The baby comes here good, always a fresh page for life, ready to have its own record from a clean slate. Isn't that a wonderful God? And if we care for that baby with our human concern for it, mother, or whoever the parents may be that's taking care of that baby is going to have a beautiful growth, beautiful life, most likely, unless something gets it from the bad influences of the world. This baby will have a beautiful life. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. God says of him that he has already lived among you for a lifetime. Speaking of Muhammad the Prophet. For 40 years he lived and had not known revelation. He did not belong to any religion. He rejected the religion of the idol worshippers because he was of the group of thinkers in Arabia that were called Hunafa. Hunafa. It means they believe that human life in its real purpose is excellence. Is excellence. That it aims for excellence. So they, in their life, were aiming for excellence. Just to live the best motivations that they have, the best aspirations that they have, the best sense of beauty that they have. They were just trying to live the best that they saw in a human being's life. They would reject that in the bad stuff in the human being life and go with only the best stuff in the human being's life. And for that reason, they call Hunafa means what they are is already in them. That's what it means. They live the best of their inborn, inherent excellence. They lived it to the best of their ability. So they were called Hunafa people. Hunafa people. They're mentioned in the Quran, the Hunafa. Abraham was of the Hunafa. God came and told them, they had lost the knowledge of Abraham. They didn't know anything about Abraham. But God came and told them about the house that was in their land. They didn't even know what the house was for. The house was filled with idols. They had lost all of that knowledge. And the proof that they didn't have revelation is in the Quran. If we accept the holy book, the Quran, if we are Muslim, we have to accept that. Says that it came, the revelation has now come to a people that had not received revelation before. Speaking of them, the Arabs. Yes. Although Abraham had been in that area. So, well, Abraham was in that area, so their ancestors must have received revelation before. No, but he didn't come to them as a messenger. He came because Sarah, his wife, peace be upon her and him, had rejected his wife that she asked him to accept and to have a child by. This is Bible. Sarah asked Abraham to accept her handmaid, her servant, her girl servant, and have a child by her, since I am too old to have one. And the Bible story goes on to say that that as she began to show life, pregnancy, life growing, new life growing in her, the old lady got jealous. And Abraham, naturally, if he was a good man, naturally he's starting to give that woman more attention now, because she is bearing child and she is carrying a burden. So this made her even more burdened. She said, according to the Bible, she said, take this handmaid away from here. Take this woman away from here. And so Abraham accepted to do that, and he took her out in the desert. And he took her in a land of the nomads, land of the nomads, people that didn't have established civilization. They just went from waterhole to waterhole, living, existing, like migratory animals and birds. That's how they live. So he left the child out there, and he prayed to God that God would give her protection for her child and keep them safe. That was his prayer. Isn't this a wonderful picture, brothers who study the religious scripture, you ministers and preachers and imams? This is a beautiful story. Yes. So here he is. He leaves her out there, and a bird. She was desperate. She bore her child, but now her child needs water. She can't find water. And you have to go from waterhole to waterhole out there in the desert for water. The rain hardly ever comes. She's desperate, so she runs between two hills. Desperate, running and panicking. And she looked, and she saw a bird. This is how the tradition goes. And she went where that bird was, and the bird was pecking the ground. And water started coming up from the ground. And that was the beginning of the well of Zemzem, that all pilgrimage who go to visit that spot, that sacred, holy spot that holds great message for all mankind. We Muslims, we go and visit that spot, and we make this run, the sign, between the two hills, repeating her act of desperation, her panicking. We repeat it. At one point, we have to trot a little bit. Like we're desperate, like we're running. But if we get between those two points where she was running, we have to really run. We run desperate. And right in about center of the distance, there's a margin within about center of the distance that represented intensification of her desperation. So we get the signal post that tells us, here it is, start trotting. Yes. So the little bird pecks the dead surface, and up come the sensitivities, a spring of sensitivities. Water, fresh water, pure water, for her child who was needing water. So God gave her the water. God provided for her the water. Out of the dead matter, out of dead earth. Now, as I said, who wants to put earth, ground, soil, dirt into a bowl for dinner? Nobody. Even if you put water in it, we don't want it. So think of it as great wealth now. Think of it as the great support for wealth, as wealth, the land mass as wealth, that supports smaller production of wealth. Isn't that the fact? The land mass is what supports all the other smaller sources of wealth, our production. We don't want to put water in it. Oh, I'm going to give you some water with you there. No, still don't want. I can't eat that. So some of us, we can romance materialism, but it's still not fit for consumption. You can put all the human sensitivities and beauty to your idea of materialism, but if you want us to live on materialism, it's still not fit for consumption. But if you see materialism as a basis to support life, body as life, or as something to feed my life, is dead. It's to be seen as a support for my life. Then we can make all the money. We can become billionaires. The money is not going to kill us because we are not going to eat it. We're going to use it to support those things that we can take into our body. Like better schools. Like better equipment for our schools. Like paid teachers, qualified teachers, and paid teachers. Hard-working servants in education. Paid a good price that enable them to not worry about their meal today and not worry about their rent this month. Not worry about that light bill, that phone bill. Isn't that light? That's beauty. Now, I can feel it. Can't you feel it? I feel it. Bill paid. Woo, I feel good. So you see how the support comes from the dead thing first. And if you know that it's dead something and you're not supposed to give your life to it, it's to support your life. You see. Now water, look at water. All of this supports plants. This is our plant. Look at the plant life. I've seen plant life beautiful, as you have. But I've seen plants, especially trees, ghostly picture. A ghostly picture. What was that ghostly picture? Trees that were inundated by a flood. Were and didn't go back, didn't recede, found a place there to stay, a sucking place, and stayed there, covering the trees too high, trees standing in water, trees die, all the leaves die, the branches naked like skeletons, standing in the water, a ghostly picture, because they got too much water. Now you want to make yourself a ghostly community? Just love crying preachers. Oh Lord! Oh Lord! If you cry more than you educate, you're gonna soon be a ghostly community. Too much water. Now, when you have land and water, you're going to have growth. Cabbage. Collard greens. Oh, he knows we don't eat collard greens. Talk for yourself, buddy. See, I studied the Quran after the trial period. Trying to be upright. I studied the Quran. And in the Quran, God says that the people of the book imposed laws and restrictions upon themselves that God did not give them. God didn't authorize all that. See, they did that to themselves. Freedom for the mind, from mental slavery in this world that had us thinking we